Mr. John Donnelly, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Donnelly?
Yes, I was born in Kirkcaldy on the 26th of May, 1922.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, or what your parents did for a living, that sort of thing?
My father was a factory in Liverpool, a linen factory. My mother was in a local linen factory. And I was the oldest of a family of five.
And what was your life like in as a child?
As a child, I went to school, St. Mary's Local School, and I left school when I was...
What was your education? A bit about your education.
I was good at school, actually. I finished up as Dutch medalist at the St. Mary's School when I left at 14. I wanted to go to higher school, but financially, I just, my mother thought I couldn't afford it.
Was there any subject you were particularly interested in or good at?
Yes, yes, I've got outstanding merit for mathematics. I like maths. English, I passed in English, but maths was my focus.
And what about sport? Were you interested in sport?
Yes, very good at running and football. I like sport very much indeed.
Did you play it with the school or outside school?
Played with the school. And we were excited to still talking about from the Army, 16 that played for local front men, Nairns, this one.
And were you a member of any of the boys' clubs, things?
Well, the Catholic Boys Club. It was just in a small hall. We were able to meet once a week and did like physical exercises and whatnot, but, and games. That was all as far as it went. And when I left school, it was difficult to find a job, and I had to... I got employed by a local Catholic gentleman who had a grocery shop delivering messages until I reached the age of 16. And then I got a job in Nairns' linoleum factory, which was an intake of quite a lot of labour. But you had to wait till the age of 16 because you worked in shifts. And you had to be 16 before you could work in shifts, like the day shift, night shift, and back shift. So I got a job when I was 16. I was in the paper mill with Nairns. And I liked the job.
What were you doing in the paper mill?
I was assistant bitumen. And the bitumen, a nice man, and he was sergeant major of the local territorials. So he suggested, or asked, if we'd like to join the territorials. And he told us that they had weekend camps up at Lady Bank, and we learned to rent motorbikes and armour cars. And of course, this was a big attraction. So several of us went down to join the territorials.
Now, where did you have to go to join? Where did you go to join?
Hunter Street.
Was it the Hunter Street Drill Hall?
Yes.
Was that what it was called?
Yes, Hunter Street Drill Hall.
And what was the procedure of taking you in, signing you up for the territorials?
You had to go and see it. Major Anchor Major Johnson, I'm sure his name was his name. Okay. However, he went down to see him, and the local sergeant major, of course, knew me. And they called you in and asked you why you wanted to join the regiment. And he sent you for a medical to local doctors, Dr. Swanson.
Was it a proper medical?
Well, yes, because when I went there, I had to run up one night after 7 o'clock. I went down to the at 7 o'clock, I turned to the hall and told me to go up to see doctors. And I ran up and I went in and he stripped off. And he says, your heart's beating hard. Okay, what is it? I said, well, I'm wrong with my heart. He said, no, you probably run out of road. I said, I'm hung down. He said, that's all wrong with you. So I passed A1 and went back, and then that was me in the down, and it was lined up.
Now, when was that? Was that?
Now, I don't know. I think it was late 1938, or it was early 1939. You know, I can't remember the exact date at all when I joined up. But I was there for several weeks, and then we went to a camp. I think it was May, I think it was. 1939, we went down to Catterick camp.
I think that would be July they went to Catterick.
July, right. So it was in the summertime we went because I had to get front myself from work.
Let's have go a bit slower. What about your initial training with them on drill nights? What do you know what night drill night was?
Yes, Tuesday nights was the main night. And honestly, it was laughable at times. Because at that time, war was imminent, and we had what we call a permanent staff instructor who was a regular soldier, sergeant major. And we had a local sergeant major of the squadron who was a local businessman, and I think all the toot sizes were all businessmen in Kirkcaldy. Nice enough lads, but like us, had no experience. And I remember going up to public, the high school playground with the new drill, rifle drill, and it was classical. And of course, the PSI would tell us something, all the instruction orders to give us on the playground. And he's like enough, sir, but you forget. He would have us all stand to attention, and then he would say, slope arms, order arms, and go through this drill. We had never had seen railroad before, but we were doing the drill, because we could do it. And he brought us up to attention one night, and there were older soldiers outside the group watching us. Now, you've seen, when I went to give the order, slope arms, he had forgotten what to say. Now, instead of calling a corporal, or we thought, a sergeant to take over, he shouted, rifles on your shoulders, put. Well, honestly, half the lads didn't know what to do, and the other half knew what he meant. But we were saying, what the old boys are doing, what the hell the army think we've got now? And then, another time, was it? As weeks progressed, our job progressed as well. And he said, now, when you go on guard duty, he said, you get to you go up to order arms, and then you get to present arms, and then you get ammunition. He said, no, we had no ammunition this time. We used to stand guard, and it was just with buttons, like a picket guard. He said, and you get ammunition. So we had no ammunition this, but you open your book, and you stand there, this was the company. He said, now come back and inspect it, and you put your finger on every one. He went back to give the orders, you know, ease springs, you know, first. He's seen again, he'd forgotten. So we just rattle bolts. You know, it was no fault of his because he was new to it as well as what we were, you know. But he'd obviously forgotten the orders. But it must have looked terrible to the people who were watching us. And I also remember something to say. However, we progressed and we progressed. And then
what else would you do in a drill night? Drill hall, other than drill?
Well, that's what all something we got map reading. And that's what all we got.
So mainly drill for the first month.
Yes.
Now you were in the first Fife and Forfar Yeomanry, and they were in the process of being doubled up. Were you aware of that doubling up process?
Oh yes, because we knew there were far too many, particularly one regiment. You know, they were enlisting, nobody's business. And they told us they were going to have a second regiment, and then that's when they told us before we went into the first.
I'll come back. But there were a lot of new men coming into the drill hall at that time.
Yeah.
And what about weekend camps? Did you ever go to Ladybank?
Yes.
What would you do there? Because that's what they told you were going to do, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, I was newer. What I did was we led to go the motorway. So I think Christy took us into. You know, I'd never been in the motorbike before, and they told us where your gear lever was, you know, and I'm going on. He says, go in second gear, look, it's in second gear. So they go on, and he says, just take it steady. So I'm going on, and I'm saying, how do you make this thing go faster? He says, you're falling on it. And later, we bumped my hands, just in the middle of the forward. And you leg number of motorbikes, but we've got the motorbike, we've got a license for the motorbikes as well. And
what sort of bikes were they?
There were little dingoes as well, weren't there, I think.
Were you taught maintenance as well, or just how to ride them?
No, that thing, we got that later on, because maintenance was, they were very, very strict in it, even after the war finished, but before the war, they said you got a test, you got a driving test, but you also got a maintenance test, and if you fail one, you can't get the other. In other words, you have to pass both. You see, there's no point in driving along the road, anything really good drives you, but if you break down, you don't know what's wrong. You've got to know the mechanism as well, you know what the differential does and all this kind of thing. So they're good, they're very good for that.
You didn't get them lessons before the war?
No. I wasn't here very long, you wasn't the same before the war, but it was mostly like until we were going.
Did you do any actual weapons training, rifle shooting or bayonet practice or anything?
We used to go up to Wraith Estate, and they had a rifle range up there, which is shoot at 200 yards on the rifle range. And we used to go up on a Sunday, in the Sunday afternoon, go 2 hours, and come back. And that was good. And then you had officers, you had the PSI and all that stuff, you had the Suez and they took command of flank posts, you know.
Would that be just the rifle, or would you get a go on the, either the Bren or the Lewis?
Yeah,
or
just rifle that thing.
And any other part of your training with the Territorials before your summer camp?
No, that was all.
Now, what about the summer camp then? That was, where was that at?
Cartwright Camp. And I can't remember being in a vehicle early down there. I think we got a lot of drill down there as well, and support.
Did you have any trouble with your employer?
No. Which Alistair Nairn was a senior squad leader, and they'd know. Someone said, I can't remember, I went in a holiday for it. I think it was a holiday for it. But you didn't lose any pay when you went to the club. No, it was very good.
And what sort of training did you do at Catherick during that camp?
I can't remember much about the camp at all at Catherick, other than the fact that, we're getting kind of worried there's going to be a war or something, but. I can only remember the sport side of it, and I wasn't driving a motorbike or anything, but we do not drill there as well.
Okay, what about this business of approach war? Were you very aware that it was coming? Did you follow politics, what was going on in Germany, Hitler, the rest of it?
Well, no, not very much, because we were talking at work about it, and then it's major as well, I think it'll blow over, I think the Chamberlain will get off what's got from you, but, didn't.
Now, what about the call up? You were called up on the 1st of September, were you?
Yes, I came off the back ship, I came off the day ship at 2 o'clock and I was sitting with my mother. I just had lunch and I was sitting with the doctor and I came over the radio and all territorials, reported to the local drill halls, the kit, so I had to go down that night, all the kit, everybody did. And we kept in overnight and that was it.
How did you feel about that? I mean,
well, I felt. Well, all right, I mean, I didn't feel any, I thought this was, we're going to do something now, but I didn't realise what war was, you know, that thing. My mother and father did, you know.
Now, one thing is, I didn't really bring this out, but you were underage, weren't you?
Yes, yeah.
Because you'd added a year, hadn't you? Because you were just 17, I think, when the war broke out.
The sad news, I knew that, and I think the sad news is, told the school leader. Because his influence, he joined, and he gave him his usual tell. And we were called up in front of the squad leader, and he asked us why we had cheated the race. We just thought it was, we wanted to join. So he said, you did the wrong thing by telling a lie, but he said, before you can stay on, you have to get your parents' permission. So I had to go home. And my mother wasn't keen at all, my father was working, so she said, you have to wait till your dad comes home. So when he came home, he told me, do you realise what war is done? I said, I don't know what war is done, but I said, it looks good, they've come and been in the territory, then come up when the war starts. And I said, not for that, I mean, if it goes on to the end of the term, we call it a penalty, then I'm 18. And I'm still with the lads in winter. So we get up and we leave, so I was kept on.
Now, you didn't stay with the first?
No.
When did you transfer?
Well, we transferred before the first went away, because we were sent. The second link went across to the Anne Smith Halls, out of Hunter Street into Anne Smith Halls.
And was that in September?
September. Maybe September, yes, it was in September.
Now, before you left the first, did you do any training or anything toward with them before you went to Adam Smith Hall?
No, other than the normal what was drill up in the school playground, you know.
Now, so in sometime in September, you transferred with the newly formed second line unit, the second 5th 4th Fire Unit.
They told us that they were going to start a second line, and we were put to the second line. Of course, they can understand that we were going to put the first one going to be put our young ones into the second line, along with all the lines, of course.
And where were you billeted in the Adam Smith Hall? I mean, we were just lying on the floor.
On the floor, yeah.
And who were the. Who were the main characters in, which squadron were you in, and who were the main characters in it at the time?
Well, I was in B squadron, the fighting movement, and...
So I should have asked this before, who were you in the first, which squadron was it in the first?
HQ squadron.
And so this B squadron, Who was running that at the time?
I think it was Johnson, according, a big stout man. He didn't go very far with him because he disappeared. I thought, it was Johnson when I left him anyway, and we went down. We were around Smith Hall for about several weeks, and then we marched up from Kirkcaldy to Leslie, which was about 6 or 7 miles away.
So, nothing particularly, as far as you're concerned, happened at Adam Smith Hall?
No. You know, Peter at Bounty and whatnot, during the summer camp, and all that was done, and you've got all your medical, vaccination and whatnot.
What were the vaccinations like? Because some people had trouble with them.
I did. I had one of them. And I'd never been vaccinated before, and it was quite a character. This big lad, he'd been done with all this kind of guy, and he'd tough guy. And they lined up and said, and then Hans went through and I said, what do you do? I said, well, I said, just cut you with a wee knife. And I said, that's nothing at all. But the smell of the ether and the place was getting rid. So this big lad, I went for a second, and I said, he hit the ground, he'd fainted. So we were kind of tough. But I don't know what I thought, he just went in and he rubs your sore in and he gets cut. I was surprised it was all over. But after a day or two, there was a scab formed on the arm. And then what worked out what we do, because they said, right, you're going on this afternoon to a football match, not Nevis Park, which was what, a mile away from Smith Falls. So we went on to a game of football. And I came back, and next morning I couldn't get in my bed. But I had a shoulder charge, and it burst the scab. So then woke up and said, right, lad, you're going home. And then I was like, we'll take to the hospital, but I was to go home, they were going to take to the hospital. I'd vaccine fever. That was only for 2 or 3 days. And I came back again, it was all right.
Were you aware of the raid on the 1st of 4th, the Germans and their raid?
Yes.
Because you're quite near there, aren't you?
We were waiting for a route maps, and we were coming down from Kinghorn, down to Kirkcaldy, down what we call Tiny Curry's Bay, just an excuse for Kirkcaldy. We seen the ships out in the 4th, and we heard the explosions and the splashes at the side of the ships. And we thought the ship was dropping depth charges. We never thought. And of course, Alistair and Mary shouted, gas! And of course, you open your gas mask on. And so we're training. And not because of the aircraft or anything. The thing about the bottom of the hill we could hardly see because we're not missed at any minute of power. We took them off. And we heard this explosions again. And they never seen the aircraft. But we didn't realise it was an area, we thought it was ships. But apparently there were no airplanes, and those airplanes got way back again, and all got down again.
And what were these route marches like? Can you tell us what a typical route march was like?
Well, we had a full band with us, and we felt very, very, honestly, we felt really embarrassed at the time. We go around the town here, and it was, the favourite tune was, he was a handsome territorial. And he goes there, here you are, and you're marching behind him. The band was very good.
Is it a pipe band?
No, brass band. And the big drummer, the drummer, was me man. And this big territorial, he was stuck in the ramp, so he got towed in the feet, so he would carry the big drummer and it was on the plane. But that was the most, everything went for a route march, we had the band in front of it, a good band, a brass band.
How far would you go?
Well, we went 6 miles. Oh. Sort of, just up the back of the town and round the Kinghorn and back down to Kirkcaldy again.
And any other fitness training?
No, other than this. No, we didn't do it in this. But the football, you know, was at home. And that was very rare because you had to wait to get what we were doing to get one to be able to start for a pitch to see to play.
Were you playing for the squadron or anything, or was it just kickabout?
Kickabout, yeah.
Now, sometime after the 4th raid, sometime in October anyway, they moved to Leslie, I believe.
Yeah.
Now, you marched, didn't you, which is quite a way, isn't it?
It's 6 miles.
Oh, not that far, then. My geography's terrible, sorry.
But we were going through the fields. Now, quite a lot of these fields belonged to the street. That's the thing I'll never forget, and as I tell you, there were 2 aircraft, I can't tell you, 2 miles up in the air, the spots. And Alistair Leon shouted, air, in the aircraft, scatter. I was in the middle of a field, so the mates were really good. I'm running towards the rescue, and we're going backwards, so we ran towards the hedges. Now, these 2 aircraft, we'd be lucky if it's in Scotland on the field, let alone the Beacon's Leslie. I don't do any aircraft either. You know. It's two aircraft high up. And that was the kind of thing we had back then.
We haven't mentioned Nairn yet. What was Nairn like, Alistair Nairn? He was the local, he ran your factory, he was a local bigwig.
He was a squad leader here, yes. He took over the kind of work.
He took over from Johnson, didn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
What was he like? Just a picture of what he was like as a man and as an officer.
Well, like all of us, he was new to it. And I think he tried his best, but I wouldn't have liked to be with him in the house at all. You know, he may have improved afterwards, but I mean, I didn't see much after that. But I mean that kind of thing when you go across a field, you see two aircraft, you see scatter. I mean, it takes all things. The aircraft, let alone the MCS.
Did he treat the men well? I mean, you know, was he a considerate officer towards his men?
I think he was very glad to do what he went to, but I think he was quite considerate.
Were there any other officers at the time you particularly remember?
No, I can't remember. There must have been Alistair Nairn and North South Asia, John
Ewell. John?
John Ewell.
E-W?
Y-U-L-E-U.
And what was he like?
Well, as I say, a nice enough lad. Good enough lad. But he didn't know the army procedures at all. None of us did, of course. But to be a sergeant major and to have a PSI beside him and give him his fitness, he was very, very poor. We found out later that he was transferred off an army, but he got his officer rank then. And I mean, the regiment was in a commitment of ours, and they said, oh, it was terrible. He put a lot in the desert from the army. Oh, it was for what? Sometimes you couldn't get what it was for, you know. Silly things like that, you know. But I didn't have much to do with that, but they tell me we finished up after the war in this kind of physical way, weren't they?
Now, what happened when you got to Leslie? Where were you billeted?
I was billeted in the townhouse.
The town?
Townhouse.
Is that like the town hall?
The town hall, in the centre of the town.
And what were the billets like?
Well, it was just a big hall, like the Hansmith Hall, and sleep on the floor again. And then you did your guards, then we had the vehicle parked in the back there.
What was guard duty like? Tell us about guard duty.
Well, we were very, very fortunate, the guard duty at town hall, because there was a baker's shop next door, and the baker used to come across it at about 3 o'clock in the morning, and give us coffee and hot rolls, because he would just stand next to his wall, you know, and he did that every night. Not we were on every night, but anything we were on, he always gave us hot coffee and a roll from the morning to the people around at 3 o'clock. And the people in Leslie were very, very good to us, because we had a little place called what it was an inlet. De La Rue. They had a printing factory up in Leslie. And they took us up there, a batch of, I think we were 20 of us went up, and they gave us all the fruit and pain and writing paper, and they had to take us around there. And we thought, that's the way at that time, that we were supposed to be, what, 10 girls for every man in Leslie, you know, so, well, I didn't just see that thing, but I mean, that was a story we went up there, you know.
What would you do? I mean, did you drink at the time? I mean, you'd be underage, actually, but I mean...
No, I didn't. I didn't start drinking until I went down to England, actually, because in the pub here in Scotland, women wouldn't go in a pub. It was all men. And at that time, you had the spittoons and sawdust on the floor, you know. And I had no interest in drink at all, other than lemonade and things like that, but a beer, no. And then when I did go down to England eventually, you know, I couldn't get past cider, we did.
I'll come on, but at that time you were teetotal, then. Did you smoke?
I smoked at that time, yes. I don't smoke now, I stopped when I was 29.
Did everyone smoke then?
Yes.
I mean, in the army, you know.
Well, most of them did, in my life. And I remember once we got a jock box, I mean, that was given by, I think it was a charity organisation. And the jock box was very, very good indeed. But there was candles in it, and sweeties in it, and not a cigarette. There was helmets, you know, these warm helmets, you know.
Balaclavas.
Yeah. Plenty of them, and soap, and whatnot, but no cigarettes. We thought this was very interesting stories, because most soldiers smoke. And at that point, you didn't get a cigarette ration. So you went in, and the auction was didn't see, but that happened, didn't.
And this job box, was that issued at Christmas, or did it just come anywhere?
I just, when they arrived, I seen this, before, I think we got one before we left to go down to England. Every man got a job to work. It was various charities, it was pioneers from there.
Now, what sort of training were you doing at Leslie? I mean, were you still on the... Were you acting as a Don R, dispatch rider, or what was happening?
We had no vehicles at all at that time. Even Leslie. They had three tanners or not. I mean, when they were only used to go for coal and things like that, but then, and rations. But we had no vehicles at all in Leslie.
So what were you doing?
Drill, again, foot drill.
How did you take to drill, really? I mean...
I like drill, yeah. It was exercise. You're doing something, you know.
Did you understand the point of it? Because some people don't understand why they have to do it so repetitively. And did you understand then why you had to do it?
Well, told then, it was like discipline, you know. It did help an awful lot because, I mean, if some people tried to talk, you know, they were brought up and put in the charge for it. And it did instill discipline, so, yes. And I thought it was great to do that. And it was exercise. I mean, did you know how?
We're doing route marches and that kind of thing as well.
Yeah.
Would the route marches get longer by then? I mean, because 6 miles isn't that far.
Well, obviously, they're much longer. And you had, after every half hour, you had a 5 minute break or whatnot, you know. But I never found any trouble with the route march and that far. And it was never over strenuous for us.
So, what did you spend the days doing? Or was it just drill?
I can't really much anything at all. And it was so cramped, there wasn't very much you could do unless they really, other than when they took us a sweep of these boat march around the Bilau factory. They had DNM classes, you know, this is the theory on DNM, you know, but no driving classes. With no vehicles, I can't remember. I haven't seen any. No armored cars. Very few armored cars.
So, what was the next thing you remember then? Was it the move south?
Yes, we got told that we were going down to Aldershot. We were told that the first had left Aldershot and gone to France, and we were taken over the barracks in Aldershot. So we went by train, and went to these barracks. The road. Called Calvary Barracks. I was there for a...
Would this be the Beaumont Barracks?
Beaumont Barracks, yeah. In Aldershot. I was there for a week or two.
What were the barracks like? Because that's your first time in barracks, wasn't it?
Sorry, sir. I think it was a beautiful barracks, you know. Well, of course, they were stables, old stables, you know. They were stables at that time, Calvary. And then we moved... We were there for a week or two. We only did foot drill one day again. And then we were